Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with an audio interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from, wherever you're getting this series today, I hope you enjoyed enough that you'll actually follow along and hit that subscribe button. We put out new interviews Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists. And if you're already a subscriber, thank you so much for staying with us, checking out the series, following along. I appreciate all your comments in the comment sections of all the places you're listening from. If you haven't given the series a rating yet, that's always a huge help, so appreciate that as well. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm going to be talking to the band Milky Chance. I've got Clemens and Philip in discussion about their third LP called Mind the Moon. We'll hear about the pressures of following up successful records and songs, especially massively successful records and songs as they have had so far, how the writing has changed over the years with each other, and the guests that they brought onto this record. Tosh Sultana, a perfect collaborator, and then on the other side, Ladysmith Black Mambazo. That's not one that I would have seen coming. We'll get the story on both of those right there. And we'll also talk about being a global band. This album was recorded all around the world. The guests that they've got on it are from so many different spots around the globe that, yeah, I've got to wonder, is there a statement? In a time when the word nationalism has reared its ugly head, does this record speak to something different? Milky Chance also recently did some touring with Jack Johnson, and it seems like his own environmental practices have rubbed off on the band in how they tour. And we'll hear about Milky Change, as they call it. And we'll get into the story behind the lead single, The Game. A song that, to me, sounds like it's speaking to the success that they've had so far and how they've had to deal with it. We'll get the story on that as well. Talking about this record called Mind the Moon, it's Kyle Meredith with Milky Chance.
Hello. Hey, Kyle.
Guys, it is so great to hear, you know, the third record here, Mind the Moon. You guys have, you know, you've done so much in the past few years. It already feels like you know, a treat to get a third album this quickly and to still be, just, you know, producing at this high of caliber. I mean, the songs are fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, coming out of, you know, Blossom, well, Sad Necessary, right out of the gate, you guys, you know, find some great success and you follow that up with Blossom. And usually, you know, that's where the pressure lies on that second record, to have to follow up something as big as your first one. If that was the case for you all, do you feel like it was out of the way for album number three? I mean, were you able to breathe a little bit more going into this one?
Well, it's funny because like we hear that a lot in interviews that, like, you know, like a lot of people say the second one is the pressured one. A lot say now like the third one is. But actually, I think it more felt the second one was more of a pressure feeling, but also because it was just time-wise in a very stressful time, because we were touring at that time, like full-on during summer, doing festivals. So we, like, you know, played on the weekends, and then we, like, jumped right into the studio. So this time, actually, it felt way more, or, like, way better and easier, because we took 1 year off from touring, so we could really just do one thing and totally focus on getting creative and productive. And that's why it actually felt very, very nice, comfortable, and we really enjoyed the process.
Clemens, I'll throw a question to you. Has the way that you're writing with each other then changed over these three records?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, with the first record, so, like, all the songs for the first record, I had, like, already written before we, like, most of it before we even started recording them. And then with the second record, we changed that and we opened up the process a little bit. But I would say with the third record, there's a lot of songs that where we started writing songs together from zero. Sometimes just the two of us, sometimes, you know, like one of us like started and then the other one jumped on it. And then, you know, it was a lot of more like mixed up, like in the process. We also wrote together with friends of ours, like other musicians. So we just like, we were trying to work like, you know, in different ways that we used to, especially like on songwriting, but also on producing. So I would say, it changed. And I think like with the third album, we really opened up the process. Like even like our other two band members, they were joining us from time to time in the studio, which didn't happen with the first and the second album. You know, then, like, back then it was only the two of us and then our producer and his engineer. So this time, you know, they were joining us and they were giving us input. And we were just, like, we just wanted to get inspired by, you know, all the great musicians that we are surrounded by. So we felt like we wanted to do it that way. So we did and opened up.
You know, so let's talk about those guests then, because there are several here that just kind of pop out right away. The first one I saw was Ladysmith Black Mambazo. I mean, that's an interesting collaboration party. How did that come about, and what was working with them like?
Yeah, that was kind of unromantic, like the modern way of having a collaboration. So, I mean, like, Philip and me, back in high school, we were singing in a choir. So that was the time when we got to know, like, their music, because back then our teacher brought some arrangements of them, and we were singing them in the high school choir. That's when we got to love, when we started diving into their music, and we just loved their voices and their sound, and we thought it's a very unique choir. And then when we were recording Eden's House, we tried a lot of things out. We were also like trying to record, you know, or to arrange an instrumental and like doing some beats and some loops and stuff like that. But then we felt like this is not the right thing for that song. Kind of went back to the beginning of the production. And then I think Philip was like, what about a choir? And then we were just like, oh yeah, that could be very nice. That could be a really nice fit. And then we were just like, Ladysmith is our favorite choir out there. Why just not asking them? Like, we never met them face to face. Then we just wrote them a mail, you know, via their management, and they responded. And then we sent it over the demo, and they liked it. And they said, yeah, we do it. And then I think Philip called one of these guys, right? Like, the was he like the... Who was it? Like a member?
Dude, like
a member
of the choir. Yeah, he is. But his name is like, I still haven't learned to like pronounce it right. So I won't try right now. But we had a call, and like, I mean, the first demo was already like so amazing, and we really loved what they did, because we didn't like really tell them what to do. We just like said where we think it would fit, and basically said do whatever you feel. And the first demo they sent back was already sounding really, really good. So we just like had like, I think, this one call, and we did like some little voice ads and like arrangement, and then it was already perfect. So even though it was like over the internet, which can, you know, get quite complicated, you would think, and like maybe also exhausting, it was very like easy and like felt like this is supposed to fit.
Well, Philip, then, you know, when you're working, so you've got Ladysmith Black Mambazo, like we have a perception of the sound that they make, lots of African rhythms and everything. And even when you take someone like Tosh Sultana, who's very grooved bass in a similar way to you, you know, when you're thinking about rhythm and percussion, using your collaborative partner, does that kind of give you the opportunity to go in their direction with how you're styling a song?
Yeah, I mean, in case of Ladysmith Black Mambazo, it was really the sound of the voices, the harmonies. I would say less percussion because there's no percussion in that song. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they are rhythmic and it's really the tone of the voice and also, like, the sound of, like, how they pronounce, which is really great. And in terms of Tash Sultana, I think it was also, yeah, kind of the vibe she brings. And, like, I mean, she's a great guitarist and a great vocalist. And she just also really comes from that intuitive way of making music and like jamming. And so it was just like musically, because we also met a couple of times, it just felt like it would be really nice to like work together and kind of like really make sense in the way we like do music.
I'll pull the lens back for a kind of a wide scope here, because when I do look at these collaborative partners, they're from everywhere, all over the world. And I wonder if that says something, because in 2019, when we get into the geopolitical side of things, it seems like, you know, countries are trying to get smaller or whatever. Is there a statement, even unintentional, about using artists from vastly different geographical areas to build a bigger picture?
You could put it that way, I would say.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but that was not our intention. I mean, it's nice to see it. I mean, you can see it that way. Yeah, sure. But it was not our... I mean, it's just like people that like artists and friends that we admire and that we just totally wanted to work with. But I mean, sure, it shows that we are, I think we are just like global citizens, you know, it's just like, I mean, it's the, like, I mean, you can tell from I think also from our music, like from the sound that we had, like already from the beginning, is inspired by so many different genres. Like, for example, there's so many people out there that have always been telling us, like, you're not sounding German in any way. And we were always like, I mean, like, what does it sound like sounding German, you know? It's just like, I mean, sure, we're singing in English, so it has an international, well, vibe. But I feel like it's just like we're children of the globalization, and we're connected, you know, through the web, we're connected all around the world all the time, and we can get inspired by artists from, you know, from any country in the world, and it's just like there's no boundaries anymore, and I feel like our music is just like the result of that. Yeah.
To draw that further, of course, even recording around the world, and you do, because I mean the places that I hear about in Germany, in Italy, in Norway, and again, these are, you know, very different spots for everything. It's it sounds like a really nice way to kind of put that whole world image into the music. Again, even if it wasn't meant to be there intentionally.
No, that's true. Yeah. I mean, for us, it was also like to get out of what we know, to like get out of the like comfort zone of our own studio, the room we know, the gear we know, to like get out and get, yeah, like inspired by an environment that is new. But it makes sense in a way that you can put it there, like that it stands for that.
And I mean, you all also practice that a little bit too. I was just reading about Milky Change. This is something you guys are implementing for your tour?
New chapter. Tell me.
Yeah, what's the story there? What exactly does that mean for you all?
We were like already for a longer time. I mean, since we like toured the last 7 years. I mean, also what we are like the times we are living in. We were just like thinking, oh, we like really felt the need like to change something because we often felt bad because what we do is not environmentally friendly. So we felt the need to like do something about it, and we know that we are. What we do is not sustainable, but at least we want to try. And we thought we just want to like have people like see it and like know about it. So we kind of like thought we're going to do a blog where like people can just like see the journey that we want to like go from here.
I think that's important for any artist to kind of realize that and take action how they can. So, you know, for what it's worth, I appreciate it anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice.
Let's start small.
Right. I'll kind of wrap it up too with the lead single with The Game, and this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the interview. Kind of looking at your all success, like when I hear that song, when I look at the lyrics, I do wonder if this is a song that sort of speaks to the journey of success that you all have been on for the past few years?
Yeah, well, maybe like unconsciously, I would say, because I feel like that's just the way we work, like when we do music, but especially also when we write. I think all the songs are based on personal experiences. Yeah, that's like the foundation of it. But when we do songwriting, for example, for this song came about, I would say, within 2 hours, having a jam session in the middle of the night in Melbourne when we were visiting Tash, actually, in her studio to record Daydreaming. And we were so jet-lagged that we just stayed up all night. And then we just had, you know, we had 2 bottles of wine and 2 guitars, and we were just jamming. And we did that like 4 nights in a row. And that's how that song came about. And when we were writing it, I feel like first of all, we just went with the, yeah, you have some chords that you're jamming on, and then you have a melody, and then there's like words just coming out, you know, like probably just because of the sound. But then there's like you get stuck on that one thing, and then was like the game, and then like the, you know, like if you see life as a game, and then if we probably look back on our lives and all the things that we experienced over the last years, that there were so many moments where we were just like totally overwhelmed and didn't really know what to do, probably. So we felt like we don't know about the rules of the game, but we just, you know, we're trying to play it, or sometimes we just want to play it, but you don't feel like able doing it. So I think that was just like the mood for the whole song. I would say it's not only a comment on our success, but just on our lives in general and how we felt like over the past years, I would say.
I love the way that's came out. And again, I can't compliment you guys enough on Mind the Moon. It's been such a fun listen in, you know, a trio of really strong records here. So once again, fellas, congratulations on this music.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate that.
No problem. Clemens, Philip, it was a pleasure talking to you today. And I look forward to hearing how these sound out on the road, too. We'll see you out there on the tour. And thank you so much for the call today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
See you soon, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
And my thanks to Clemens and Philip of Milky Chance. Again, the brand new record is called Mind the Moon. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, if you're not already subscribed to the series, I hope you grab your favorite listening device wherever you're listening from. That includes iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podchaser, Acast, as well as Spotify and YouTube. You can subscribe anywhere you get podcasts from, to keep up with us. And if you're already a subscriber, give the series a rating, leave a review, or just a comment in the comment box wherever you're listening from. It's always great to hear from you there as well. After that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, anniversary spins, music news, bonus interviews. That's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith and Facebook/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.